Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
The community that's being talked about, I think, more than any other in Canada, as far as the impact of Fiona is concerned, is Portobasque in Newfoundland. And we've heard reports of terrible situations, including a woman being swept out to sea. I spoke very early this morning with the town clerk at Portobasque, Nadine Osmond, and we spoke several times, and she's joining us on the program. Nadine, first of all, thank you so much for taking my calls earlier and your courtesy and under these very, very trying circumstances for you and your community.
Sure.
Can you tell us a bit about Portobasque, about the size of the community? How many people are there, and you know, whereabouts are you specifically? How close? I know you're right beside the ocean. Tell us a bit about Portobasque.
Yes, our town size. Well, we have about 4,000 for our population. If anybody's familiar with Nova Scotia, I mean, you would go to North Sydney and the ferry ride would bring you right into Channel Portobasque. You know, it's a 6 to 8 hour ferry ride across. So we're right on the tip of the southwest coast of Newfoundland, Labrador. You know, quite a few parts of our specific town is surrounded by water. For a number of years, so many of us have lived really close to the water, you know, like most towns in Newfoundland.
Right. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world, but it can also be extremely challenging as far as weather is concerned in a general context, but over the last day and a half, it's been absolutely terrible. Was your community able to prepare for Fiona, and what were you able to do?
Partially. This town and this area is used to a lot of wind. I mean, high winds is a normal weekly thing for us, but in the past few years, like the sea surges have been something that we've really had to pay attention to. Every time a storm warning comes up now, we usually get emergency services from the province warn us of possible sea surges. We've been monitoring the situation with the council and the mayor, and we've been, you know, paying attention to all the forecasts and that sort of thing. Friday evening, actually, we did get a call from a meteorologist in St. John's, and he said he spoke to his co-workers, other meteorologists, and with good conscience, he said he couldn't go throughout the night without contacting us and telling us that he thought this storm was going to be worse than we were expecting. We all met at the town council Friday just after supper, and we started identifying all of the people in town that were really close to the water. And what I mean by close to the water, like some people are probably, you know, 6 to 12 feet, you know,
wow,
from the water's edge. And we started calling everybody and messaging people on Facebook if we couldn't get their get them by phone. And we recommended that they, you know, either move to family and friends' house that was more in the interior of the town, or at least get a bag packed and be ready to move and watch the weather, you know, as of 6 o'clock in the morning, because we knew it was going to start really early in the morning. So we also know that, you know, we spoke to Newfoundland Power, Newfoundland Hydro, Bell Alliant, Red Cross, Salvation Army, so many other organizations, and they had already had all of their extra staff support, extra crews called in, because they knew that we would need their support. So, you know, we were as prepared as what we could be, but nobody was expecting the sea surge that we got. We've never seen anything like it. We've had bad storms. I know I'm in my 50s. I've heard of a really bad storm that was here in the 60s that wiped out a lot of, you know, wharfs and stages along the coast, but and maybe one house or so. But, you know, we've got 20-plus houses that are gone.
Wow, 20 houses, 20-plus.
Yeah.
And I heard the two-story apartment building was washed out to sea.
Yes. I live in a section, the town is Port of Basque. It's actually a twin town, Channel Port of Basque. I live in the Channel section. There's two streets in Channel that are parallel to one another. I live on the upper road. I left my house a few minutes before 8 o'clock with intentions of driving over to the town office, and I decided to go down towards the lower road and just see what the water was like, see what the situation was like. And a co-worker that was actually staying at her mother, she had a house down really close to the, we've got a lighthouse down there. She lives really close to the lighthouse. I went down to look at her house, and the sight of the water scared me and struck me sick. And I turned around to go to the lower road, and when I got there, there was a two-story apartment and a house in the middle of the street, and that had happened within seconds. A huge wave came in from the west side, and within seconds, it was, there were several houses wiped out, and some drawn into the sea, and some pushed in towards the road. And then the ambulances were starting to be called, the police and the fire truck, and just up the coast, a few feet, it was another small cove, and houses in that cove got wiped out all as well. Our previous town clerk that retired earlier in the spring, her and her daughter lived in that area, and her house and her shed is gone, no longer to be seen.
And this all happened in a matter of seconds?
Seconds.
One a massive wave in the storm surge.
Yes.
And you've never seen anything like that?
No. Out from the section of our town called Channel, there's a rocky island that we refer to as Channel Head. Mm-hmm. And that usually serves as a breakwater for a lot of, big waves. And as a child, I've often sat in my living room window and watched the waves strike that island and help shelter the people that live down there. But, we're talking, there was 40 and 50 foot waves.
My goodness.
And then this wave came in from the one end of that rocky island and just wiped out a number of houses.
How's the community now?
A lot of the people that have lost their places, of course, they're anxious to get back to their houses because a lot of people are, I'm sure they're in shock. They're concerned about maybe retrieving some mementos. We can't let them do that. We did have a loss of life. The body hasn't been found yet. We've had search and rescue in the area all day. And part of going through the debris and keeping people away from those sites is, for searching for this person. Everybody, I think a lot of people are in a state of shock. The people that are organizing, like myself, and responding, we're getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of Facebook messages, a lot of text, and we're trying to keep up with a lot of it. We're trying to respond to people's medical needs. We've been speaking with the Red Cross, and, they're bringing people to the area. We've also had so many people call us that want to help out. That are, trying to make all those arrangements. It's
right.
It's becoming a little bit mentally draining, but
sure.
We have to be there for the people, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. What you've gone through in the last day and a half would be just so incredibly draining, as you say. And
yes.
And your community has been actually rearranged by this massive storm. I'm
yes.
still trying to picture a 40 to 50 foot wave coming in a matter of seconds,
yes.
moving houses across the street and tossing tossing some into the ocean.
Yeah.
It's so it's more than we can absorb, and we're thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
Nadine, I wish you and your community all the very best. All of us in Canada do, and if we can step up for you, I know many of us will, more than happily. So all our best and all our thoughts and prayers are with you and your community and your amazing people. The Newfoundlanders are truly amazing people, and all the very, very best to you.
Okay. I know Newfoundland has a lot of family and friends across Canada, especially in Ontario and Alberta and BC and a lot of other places, and I'm sure they're wondering what's going on.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.